today on Life Talk.
Jesus' question to this expert in the law was not, what do you think? Or what do you feel about this? What is your heart telling you? No, for answers to the hardball questions of life, Jesus always pointed people to the Word of God.
Welcome to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire, founder and senior pastor of Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. If you're looking for some encouragement, words of hope, solid biblical truth, and maybe even a laugh or two, well, that's exactly what Pastor Jeff wants to share with you today. We know life can get pretty busy and complicated at times, so we're truly grateful you've chosen to take a break and listen to the program. Now, if you're not able to hang out with us for the entire program, you can always check it out at our website, lifetalkradio.us. In fact, you can find all the programs right there waiting just for you, lifetalkradio.us. But right now, here's Pastor Jeff to tell us more about today's program on Life Talk.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to this edition of Life Talk. You know, most of the things we talk about Jesus saying have to do with what he directly taught us. We quote his incredible words from the Sermon on the Mount, or his amazing messages delivered from a boat to a massive crowd on the shore, or we seek to unfold his matchless parables. But what about the things Jesus asked? We note in Scripture that God the Son asked many questions of those that he encountered, and his own disciples were often the targets of many probing questions from the Lord. Last time we began a brand new series called The Questions Jesus Asked. We're discovering that Jesus never needed any man to answer something he didn't know, but rather Jesus' questions were designed to teach a lesson or to bring somebody to a place of repentance. This time we're going to look at three key questions from Jesus, beginning with this one, why are you so afraid? So let's jump right into part two of The Questions Jesus Asked.
When our faith evaporates, and it evaporates when we look at the circumstances instead of at the Savior, when we focus on the problem instead of the problem solver, when we focus on the storm instead of the Savior, that is when fear rushes in. But it's true conversely that when we focus on the Savior, faith grows and fear vanishes. Remember the story of Peter when the disciples were in the boat? Jesus came walking to them on the water, walking literally on top of the water. Simon Peter, being Simon Peter, said, Lord, if it's you, call me to come out to you and let me walk on the water. And Jesus said, come. Well, Peter stepped out of that boat, and when his sandaled foot hit that water, the water held him up, but really not the water. His faith in God held him up. Faith in Jesus held him up. And we note that when he stepped out of the boat, his eyes were focused on Jesus. But we are told, so Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water toward Jesus. But when he saw, now that's where the problem came in. When he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified, and that's when he began to sink. Save me, Lord, he shouted. Now notice, when his focus changed, he began to sink. As long as he was focused on Jesus, he was a miracle walker. He was walking on a miracle. He was literally walking on water. Next to Jesus, the only man in the history of the world that's ever walked on water like this was Simon Peter. And as long as he had his focus on Jesus, the miracle continued. But the minute he changed his focus from Jesus to the problem, he began to sink and fear took over. So when his focus changed, fear rushed in. So it's the same thing. The message behind Jesus' question for all of us is with every situation we encounter, storms, troubles, problems, perplexities, doubts, tough times, uncertain times, he has promised to never leave us or desert us. And that's what Hebrews 13:5 promises. That's the lesson. That's the message behind Jesus' question. That's what he was wanting to teach the disciples and Peter, and by default, you and me. Why are you so afraid? If we're ever afraid, it's because we're losing sight of the greatness of the God we serve, because he has promised, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And so if we remember that and meditate daily in His Word and walk full of the Holy Spirit, faith will overcome a spirit of fear, especially in times like these. COVID, covering the world, jobs uncertain, you know, the concern about whether or not you might get COVID, all the uncertainties and all the fears and all the worries that are gripping our culture. I think Jesus might be saying to some of us, why are you so afraid? Why are you so afraid? Did I not promise to take care of you? Did I not promise to provide for you? So I want my answer to be, and I know you want your answer to be, forgive me, Lord, for fearing that anything is stronger than you or outside of your control. So great question, and that's a great answer to it. So question number one, why are you so afraid? Now I want to deal with a second question from Jesus, and that is a great one. This is a great one. I've thought about this one a lot. Jesus asked the disciples, do you still not see or understand? Now, Jesus asked this question in Mark 8:17, I believe, out of frustration and a little bit of exasperation with the disciples. We can almost hear a hint of disappointment in his voice when he asked them, don't you still see? Do you still not get it? Do you still not understand me, who I am, who you're walking with, what I'm able to do? Let me read to you where this question was asked. In Mark's account, the Lord has just warned the 12 disciples to watch out for the leaven of the Pharisees. He said, watch out for the leaven of the Pharisees. That was literally a statement he made. Now, he meant that they should be wary of the false teaching of the Pharisees, which he called leaven. Now, we know that when leaven is put into dough, it expands and it eventually permeates the whole loaf. And so Jesus is saying, you better watch out for the false teaching of the Pharisees, because if you receive that leaven of their false teaching into your spirit, it can eventually grow and expand where you have become corrupted throughout your whole person by that teaching of the Pharisees. And it's true for false teaching today. I can tell you, beware, for instance, of the leaven of the Mormons. Be careful of the leaven of the Jehovah's Witnesses. Be careful of the leaven of many false teachers out there that are teaching many false doctrines, weird and strange things. Be wary of the leaven of what's coming out really in a lot of charismatic circles. There's some leaven out there you got to be careful of. Then you move into denominational circles. There's leaven. There's false teaching where people that used to hold to the scriptures with all of their heart now are giving the scriptures up in order to gain favor with our culture. And there's leaven out there, false teaching. And he's saying, Jesus is saying to them, be wary of it, because once you receive false teaching into your spirit, it has the ability to expand and permeate your whole being until your whole life is messed up from what you have listened to and received as teaching from a bad source. But the disciples, when they heard Jesus say this, they immediately thought he was talking about how they had forgotten to bring bread for the journey that they were on. But no, he was attempting to teach them spiritual things. So Jesus' exasperation boils down to this. No matter what they saw him do, his disciples still didn't get it. That was the exasperation. That was what was frustrating the Lord. No matter what they saw him do, all the miracles they saw him perform, they were still thinking, wow, he's mad at us or bugged with us that we didn't bring bread for the journey. And Jesus is trying to say to them, hey, don't you know by now I'm not worried about how much bread you have? Because haven't you seen me provide bread for the multitudes out of a few fishes and loaves? They'd already seen him multiply fishes and loaves to provide for 4,000. They'd already seen him break 5 loaves and 2 fishes and feed 5,000. They'd already seen him cast out devils, heal the sick, open blind eyes, do all kinds of miracles for people, heal the deaf and the mute. He'd already done all these things. And yet, they didn't even have the faith yet that if they were in a pickle and they didn't have enough bread, Jesus would multiply the bread they had. No, they weren't even able to hear his spiritual teaching because they were so caught up in unbelief about his ability to provide for them. So Jesus is saying, do you still not understand? Do you still not get it? What are you going to have to see to get it? How much more? And, you know, let me ask you, and I'm asking myself here. I've been here myself many times, so I'm not pointing a finger at you. I'm pointing a finger at all of us. What have we seen Jesus do? How many miracles has he performed for us? How many miracles of provision? How many miracles of giving us peace in the middle of a storm? How many times has he provided for us out of nowhere? Both big and small things. How many times have we seen the Lord heal us, guide us, direct us, protect us? How many times has the Lord come through for us? And yet we're so caught up in worrying about his ability to provide or to do this or that, we can't even hear him and how he's trying to teach us more things spiritually speaking. And you know, there's a verse in the Old Testament where God tells Moses, and let me just quote it for you. It's a powerful verse. The Lord has used this to speak to my heart about, you know, am I learning like I should? Is God having to teach me the same thing over and over again? Because Deuteronomy 2, verse 3, God says to Moses and tells him to tell the children of Israel, you have circled this mountain long enough. Now turn north. Now, isn't that a powerful verse? Have you ever heard that in your own spirit or have you ever thought it? Man, how many times am I going to have to walk around this same mountain? How many times am I going to have to learn the same lesson? We can almost hear Jesus asking us the question, how do you not yet understand? You know, because here's God essentially saying to the people, you've been walking in circles. How long are you going to have to learn the same lessons? And aren't you ready to move on? Because I really want you to move forward, get down the road, quit walking in these circles. And sometimes to stop walking in the circles in monotony requires us learning and getting it, getting what the Lord is trying to teach us. And so it's time to move forward. I wonder how many Christians that should be moving forward in God's will are stuck in the rut of just going in circles from not learning what God has been trying to teach us. Simple things like get in the Word daily, develop a consistent prayer life, trusting God to come through for you in a time of need without being all tied up in knots of fear and worry. When are you going to get it? I can hear Jesus. Why do you not yet understand? So it's a great question. And here's my response to the question. And I'm sure it's your response as well. Open my eyes, Lord, to see you for who you really are and to never again doubt your presence, your power, or your provision. I do understand, Lord. I do get it. I do know who I'm walking with. I know you're never going to fail me and you're never going to forsake me. So, amen. What a great question. Do you not yet understand? And what a great way to respond. Amen.
Pastor Jeff will be back in a moment. But first, I want to share a couple of thoughts with you. First, you may not be able to stay with us for the entire program, but don't worry. You can find the full program at our website, lifetalkradio.us, along with all the programs. Lastly, we get emails and calls every week from listeners just like you who tell us how much the program means to them. But we want to hear from you too. So let me encourage you to connect with us by calling 877-884-3111, or you can email us through our website, lifetalkradio.us. That's lifetalkradio.us or call 877-884-3111. And now, let's go ahead and get back to Pastor Jeff with the rest of today's program.
All right, let's just deal with one more. And I think this is such a pertinent question for our day. Jesus asked this question of a man that came to him with a question. He said, what does Scripture say? Now, let me give you the context. We read in Luke 10, 23, 28, that an expert in the law one day stood up to test Jesus and asked him what he must do to inherit eternal life. What must I do to inherit eternal life, Lord? Well, Jesus looked at him, and instead of answering his question, he asked him a question. So he answered his question with a question. And Jesus asked him this one. What is written in the law? How do you read it? Now, let's remember, all there was back then was the law. When Jesus asked this question, that's all they had, was the Old Testament. The New Testament had been written. Not one word of the New Testament had been written. So Jesus is pointing him to the Old Testament. And he's saying, what's written in the law? Tell me what's in the word. You answer your own question. What is in the law? Now, I want you to note that the man said, well, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And he quoted the greatest commandment. Jesus said, do this and you will live. So the man found the answer to his question by going to the scriptures he already knew. Now we note that Jesus' question to this expert in the law was not, what do you think? Or what do you feel about this? What is your heart telling you? He didn't ask anything like that. No, for answers to the hardball questions of life, Jesus always pointed people to the Word of God. Folks, I can't tell you how important this is. Please hear me on this. You know, when I reach the end of my days and I go before the Lord and I give an answer for how I pastored my church, and the Lord judges my work, and it comes out that I did not lead you, teach you, encourage you, and exhort you to learn the Word of God and to always get your answers from the Word of God. If I had not taught you to be a people of the Word, listen carefully to me, I failed. I failed you, and I failed God. Because one of the most important things I can teach you, there's a few absolute essentials that every pastor must teach the people. To pray, that's a big one. To be saved only through Jesus Christ, that he's the only way, truth, and the life. There's no other way but him, the unique, one and only begotten Son of God. But one of the key essentials every pastor should teach the people is to go to the Word of God, know the Word of God, live in the Word of God, walk the Word of God, talk the Word of God, understand the Word of God, saturate your mind in the Word of God, be a people of the Word, know the Scriptures better than you know any other book in the world, know your Bible. Jesus felt that way because he was always pointing people to the Word of God. He said, you search the Scriptures, thinking that in them you will find eternal life. But they speak of me. He taught us that the Scriptures, the sum total of the message of the Scriptures, was to teach about him. He was always pointing us back to the Word of God. When he was walking with the two men on the road to Emmaus, what did he do? It says he opened up the Scriptures to them. And beginning with the law and the prophets and Moses and all of that, he opened their understanding to the Scriptures. He pointed them to the Scriptures and explained to them how the Christ must have suffered, must suffer and die the way Jesus did, and then rise from the dead, and that all of that was found in the Scriptures. So to clear out their confusion and to banish their fear, Jesus took those two disciples on the road to Emmaus straight to the Word of God, and that's the way Jesus always did. Jesus said, thy word is truth. So we must be a people of the Word. If there was ever a time, I think, for pastors to particularly be sharing this with their congregations, it's now. That Scripture in this day of rampant deception, and I mean rampant, you know, Jesus warned when the disciples asked him, what will be the sign of your coming? The first thing out of his mouth was, beware lest any man deceive you. And four times in Matthew 24, Jesus warned against deception. False Christ, false prophets, false teachers. And so here, Jesus again, when he says to this man who asked him, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He says, what do the Scriptures say? What do they say? You know, the Bible is referred to as the living Word of God. The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Hebrews 4, verse 12. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17. All Scripture is God-breathed. All of it. All Scripture. From Genesis to Revelation. All of it. is all God-breathed. It's breathed out of God and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Do you want to do a good work for the Lord? Spend time in the scriptures, because it'll equip you to do that good work. See, I believe before you go do any good work for the Lord, you need to be equipped to do it. And we are equipped by studying, spending time in, meditating in the Word of God. So let me ask you a question, and I'm asking myself this as well. I've asked myself this many times through the years. When you're in a predicament and you have to choose between offending someone else or offending God, or when you simply don't know what to do or which way to turn, you've got a big question and you're confused. What do I do, Lord? Where do I go? Which way do I take? Instead of asking, what would Jesus do, and just taking a guess, how about this? What do the scriptures say? Because they are the unerring, inerrant, perfect guide for life. Let me close with an illustration. Picture with me a huge cruise ship out there on the ocean. It is beautiful. It's gigantic. It's shiny. It's impressive. It's powerful. It's big enough to house a couple of thousand people. And yet you look at that cruise ship, and we've got to realize that it depends on two things to keep it stable and to get it to the right destination. Two things you cannot see. You can't see the rudder underneath the water that moves this way or that, so that it goes this direction or that, turns left or right, or goes straight. A little rudder under the water that you can't see directs that huge ship, and the anchor. The anchor keeps it stable. The rudder sends it in the right direction. Without those two things you cannot see, that ship could be lost at sea and everybody on it destroyed. We think of the Titanic. Great example. It was called unsinkable. It was the greatest ship ever created in that day. And yet we know that when messages of warning were sent to the operator, he ignored them because he was busy transmitting messages for passengers and crew to people on shore. And he was not listening to the operator's warnings. He was not listening to warnings from other ships saying there were icebergs ahead. He ignored it. He ignored it. He ignored the warnings. And they hit the icebergs, and you know the rest of the story. So my point is this. The Word of God is our anchor. It keeps us stable, stable in a storm, stable against the winds and the waves that want to take us elsewhere. It locks us down like it holds a ship in place. And the Word of God is our rudder. It assures us that we're going to go the right direction. The Word will tell us go left, go right, go straight, or don't go at all. The Word of God will tell us that. And that's why we need to hear Jesus. What do the scriptures say? Whatever you're facing in life today, what do the scriptures say? Are you wondering about marrying somebody? Are you wondering about moving? Are you wondering about a job? What are you wondering about? What are you praying about? Well, listen, I believe you ought to pray, and you ought to believe God for his instruction. But the primary mode of direction, if you want to know the will of God for something, the number one guide is the Word of God. So we say, in answer to Jesus' question, well, Lord, here's the way I want to be. The scriptures tell me this. The scriptures tell me that. And no matter what I feel, or no matter what other people might be telling me, if the scriptures tell me something different, let God be true and every man a liar. So what do the scriptures say need to be our watchword for life? It needs to be the number one question we ask in any situation.
Thanks for listening today to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. To get a copy of today's message, give us a call at 877-884-3111. Or you can pick it up at our website, lifetalkradio.us. That's 877-884-3111. Or the website, lifetalkradio.us. And while you're there at the website, you'll find today's message along with all the messages from Pastor Jeff on our Listen page. You can also sign up to get our e-devotionals, ministry updates, our exclusive Life Talk listener emails, and a whole lot more. We'll even send you a free gift just for signing up. And be sure to check out the resource page, as it's packed with so many things we know you'll be interested in. Again, the website is lifetalkradio.us, or call us at 877-884-3111. One last thing. Your partnership with this program through your generous giving is always needed and very appreciated. We know Life Talk is making a difference in your life, so this is how you can make a difference to ours. Please take a minute to send your best gift at the partner page on our website, lifetalkradio.us, or by calling 877-884-3111. Thanks so much for your heart of generosity. We truly appreciate it. Be sure to join us next time right here on Life Talk.